Philip?
Matt.
Have you ever flown a plane?
I've never crashed, so that's pretty good.
Well, even if you did, it wouldn't be you crashing. It would be somebody else crashing
right.
with you in it.
Right. I've never had a pilot crash the plane that I was riding in. Have you ever been in a plane crash?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
You've been in six plane crashes. Four
of them weren't my fault.
But two of them were? You were driving the plane? You were piloting the plane.
I was driving, yes. But it wasn't really my fault.
I mean, you crashed.
There was another plane that took a left right in front of me.
So it's the other, that stupid pilot cut you off, you're saying?
Yep. I had a green light and the other pilot took a left right in front of me.
What do planes look like? How many wings do they have?
The other time was, it was raining really hard out.
Okay.
And I was going really fast and I tried to slam on the air brakes. And
air brakes?
I hydroplaned.
I don't think that planes can hydroplane, ironically.
It's in the word.
Yeah. See, part of me is doubting it now because it is in the part of the word, but I'm pretty sure that planes can't hydroplane.
I hydroplaned.
What kind of plane do you fly?
Well, none anymore.
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hi, I'm Matt.
First we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our ring rubbers.
Now it's time for Next at Bat.
And we're here today with Adorable. Hi, Adorable.
That's you guys.
Hey.
Hello.
And you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Jen Scott.
I'm Butch Roy.
And as always, I'm here today with...
Philip Simondet, and your host is...
Matt McLeod. Thanks, Philip. So you two are...
Man, you guys are snappy.
Yeah, serious.
We've done this a couple times
now.
You
got a rhythm.
Yep, we do. It's banter. And we've upgraded our banter since last time.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're still operating in the absence of rhythm.
That's right.
Is that what makes Adorable function, is the absence of rhythm?
Like awkward silences and then talking over one another?
Yes. Was Josh Eckright?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Josh, I feel like Josh would just expand to fill free space, which we gave him plenty of.
That's true.
Yeah. So you guys did start as a group of three with Josh, yes?
Yeah, well, it was the two of us first, and then I remember we asked Jill, it was at Go-Go one night, we're like, and it seriously started out as a joke, and I think we came up with the name.
Yes.
Like, we're going to be Adorable. Yeah. And then we're like, who else should be an Adorable? And Jill, like, gave it a good amount of thought, was like, let me get back, and by the end of the show, was like, Josh Eckright should be an Adorable, and actually like had come up with like, this is somebody that will balance the group out. Like, oh wow, you're actually right. That we should do that.
But how did Josh balance the group out originally?
He's certainly super physical. Mm-hmm. Jeez Louise.
And so are both of you.
And has a good stretch of goony to him.
Yeah, he can be really out there and just bombastic. But also wouldn't be afraid of just being like a normal person. Mm-hmm. But if there was just an opportunity to have sort of a crazy stretch in the scene, he was definitely the guy that would go there. I feel like we were both straight people to his weird people.
I love them. I was thinking about what was adorable, but the fact that we did so many. Do you remember those double bills with like Splendid Things? Where
yeah.
we continually played, like, once we played, we did the jam, and, like, Adorable was always, like, the animal, or the kid, there was, we had some trends in there, but I might just be talking out of my
butt. Yeah, no. It took a while to find the personality of what we're doing, because we would hit a theme, and just stay, like, oh, is this what we naturally do? And then we would find something else. It was like, oh, no, I think it's this. And then our scenes got longer and longer too.
Yes, they did.
Even though we just kept fighting it, we're like, no, we're gonna
many scenes.
Yeah, we're gonna do a lot.
Yeah,
high energy, cut often.
Let's.
And we'd have like three scenes and then two scenes. And now we just, I think the last half dozen shows we've done have just been one mono scene,
mm-hmm.
which are very fun.
Which is wonderful.
What was the goal originally to do just very character driven? Short scenes?
Goal.
Or was there a goal?
I don't know if there was.
Yeah, I don't think there was I don't think there was a driver behind the group of like, we are going to come together and you know, really excel at this mm-hmm. thing. But I think we've always been really open to letting it find its own personality.
Mm-hmm.
And we've stumbled on, like, it was less about like what we want to try and accomplish and just more of these weird comfort areas. Like Jen and I accidentally did a 45-minute scene as two pilots flying from MSP to O'Hare, and like in the middle, because somebody didn't show up for a huge Wednesday spot, so we just did the whole first act.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was 50 minutes,
yeah,
which is the actual length of the flight between MSP and O'Hare. we didn't plan that. We got the suggestion of pilots, so we were just these two people, and MSP O'Hare came out, and like as we were in the middle of our set, I realized like we could actually improvise this entire flight in real time. And what a weird idea that was. And we didn't. We actually cut to the return flight, but it was still the same two people in the same cockpit. But like, I think we realized like, oh, we're totally comfortable playing a 50-minute scene in one location with mm-hmm. just the same two people. Like, we don't need feel. I don't think either of us feel that need to change people or locations all the time.
I remember those sets so much more strongly for whatever reason. I'm like, oh, those characters. Or even, you know, our last couple of Grogo sets. I'm like, oh, I like those people.
Yeah, you get a chance to live in those people for a while and find out how they know each other or don't know each other.
I know a lot of people find mono scenes to be a pretty daunting way to go, and you guys live in them pretty well, and you choose to do that, and Jen, you do that in a couple of other duos too.
Yes,
Emily Schmidt, Taj Ruler.
That's what we've ended up doing. I don't know.
And so, what is it about the mono scene that is so attractive for you guys? What does it allow you to do to stretch yourselves as improvisers?
I know, I'm like, I have a long string of thoughts on that, so I'll let Jen go first.
Oh no, I have no idea. For me, I know it just kind of allows. I like that getting comfy. It does allow, at least for me, to get super. Well, there's also not there's not the pressure of quote unquote reinvention. Mm-hmm. Just keep digging in and digging in and digging in. And what else can you discover and explore? Which mm-hmm. honestly, I should be doing anytime we start a new scene. You know, it doesn't matter if the scene is 50 minutes long or, you know, 3 minutes. I should be able to be like chuck, 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 dig away, dig away.
Mm-hmm.
But with a mono scene, it is like, oh, here we are. And no matter what you've given yourself to begin with, just dig on that. And it's a really nice place to be for me. I'll just show off my insecurities. I'm like, 'cause I'm not that smart. I'm not that clever. Really. But so a mono scene is just like, yum, let's settle in and see what's there. Yeah, that's, I guess, why they are attractive to me. But watch, next adorable set we'll just do.
Yeah.
Short form.
It'll be like 18 scenes. no, I think people that are daunted by mono scenes are like already sort of front loading the pressure on themselves of like, and it's that weird impulse that we have of like, I must bring enough rather than just knowing that whatever you bring is enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it always feels like if you're experiencing that anxiety, you're starting backwards already and just reminding yourself that no, it should just be okay. And I look at it as just getting to be comfortable with who I'm being instead of like, if you can't be comfortable in this character for, you know, 20, 30 minutes, like, well then you probably shouldn't be doing these things. It's like people that make declarations that they don't really want to cop to.
Yeah.
It's like people that make shocking declarations of like, oh, I'm going to be a stripper, but they don't actually want to go through it. They're hoping somebody cuts them
right.
because they wanted to drop something shocking in. And instead of doing that and then spending 20 minutes hating this scene that I'm in because I have to go places I don't actually feel invested in, I can just be somebody I like being mm-hmm. and can be comfortable in and know that that's enough. And I don't have to worry about like, oh man, I hope this character can fill 30 minutes. Because of course they can.
People like watching people. And if you're playing a person, wow.
Right.
The audience will stare at that forever.
And people that like each other. That's become the one thing that's, I think, thematically consistent. All of our people like each other. We had that set where my character had run her over on her bike. Like, I hit her with my car, and we still liked each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's just so much negativity in, like, this assumption that you have to be wittier than the other person, or there's this one-upmanship of, like, I can be snappier than this other person. Like, no, we don't need to compete on stage. We can just mm-hmm. be there together.
Do you think that it has something to do with vulnerability, lack of vulnerability for some people that that's why they find things like Monocene difficult. You know, with adorable sets, I the audience reacts really, really well in my experience watching you guys. But there are almost as many ahs and ohs as there are laughs. So that usually comes from you guys making choices that are, you know, leaving yourselves vulnerable on stage.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, and I think it plays a lot to... It's the opposite of our normal habits in, like, ensemble long form of, like, I must hurry and get this out right now or I'll never have a chance. You know, you have to... If you have something and you really want to see it come out, you have to drop it right away. And it gives everybody this, like, really rushed sort of rat-a-tat pacing to everything. And it, and even when we haven't planned to do mono scenes, like, I think we both know that, like, our scenes are going to be pretty decent length. So there's no rush to get that stuff out. So it makes you, like, automatically feel more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And just that, I think, helps you be more vulnerable because there isn't that, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's enough external pressure that interferes with just, like, getting cozy enough to remember that it's okay to be vulnerable in the scene. Like, even if it strikes you to, like, oh, I'm gonna make this really, like, emotionally connected declaration, like, there's always that other weird, like, voice in your back of your head, like, hurry, like, here comes the edit's coming. So, like, it's hard to have a moment like that when it feels like you're under the gun.
Sure.
Just keep thinking of, like, jams, improv jams. Anytime you're in a jam, yeah. It's just like, oh, crap! Yeah, and this is so kind of the opposite of that. Yeah. You set up very, very well.
Unless I'm mistaken, you two are both professionally in the arts, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And so you are the first group that we have interviewed where both members are professionally involved in the arts.
Shut your fucking mouth.
See, that's what happens when we have artists on.
They're all assholes. Yeah, just uncooperative, like, jerks like Danzig.
Like Danzig.
That's right.
So, do you find that when your focus is able to be solely on, you know, art and that sort of thing, do you find that the approach to what you're doing is different at all? I mean, because I know that you both have held jobs in other fields, and improv has been a hobby. Is your approach different now that your job is this sort of thing?
Approach to the improv itself?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Interesting. Good question.
I don't know. I think it becoming like whatever your art is, becoming like the only central thing that you concern yourself with is really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my job is in the arts in that I, you know, administer a theater. Right. So there's,
yes. But you're near.
Yeah, yeah. But there's plenty of, and I think you need to have, you know, plenty of real world input into your art. I mean, people that just fall into this weird little fishbowl and only, you know, see what they're doing and do their next thing based on what they've seen is a really dangerous cycle.
I think it's easy to, yeah, the fishbowl is a perfect way, because I think it's easy to, like, I am an artist, so I have to create. Well, yes, you do, but then that puts a hole, it's that whole, like, cyclical artist thing that I have to create. Oh, my God, I have to make it good. Oh, my God, I have to live up to this expectation of an identity. That's hard to say, an identity.
Yeah.
But
also cutting yourself off from... like bringing your art out into the world is really dangerous, because then suddenly, like, I don't know. I went to an art college, and there's nothing like being surrounded by artists for 4 years that will make you hate artists. But just that mentality of, like, well, you don't understand because it's my art. Like, well, if you're not making people understand, then you've failed, asshole. Mm-hmm. Is kind of like my take on it. And it's so easy to just fall into this thing of, like, well, only I understand what I'm doing. Well, great. Then don't share it with anybody else. which is, I think, another like downfall of just being an artist.
That communication bit, like, I love good communication, and I was thinking about like with science. I love scientists who are great communicators, because that's so hard to find, someone who can actually talk about science in layman's terms. Art, kind of the same way. Mm-hmm. Someone who's able to have an artistic vision or do something, do their art, and have it accessible but yet still art to anyone is just awesome to me. I don't know if we answered the question, but we talked.
We made mouth noises.
That's communication.
Ah!
What the? You tricked us.
Damn it!
This is a question inspired by your answer.
Oh,
not directly following.
He totally gave an answer.
Yeah.
What?
Totally.
Oh, sweet.
It worked.
He affirmed us.
Interview.
Artists are dumb.
Seriously. I'm kidding.
But no, I think, but that has a lot of ripples too. Like, I find that, and please don't, like, I've been exactly in this spot, so nobody take this personally, but like, artists that become parents are like such a really clear, visible example of like, it's so obvious that like, this has become your whole world for right now. Mm-hmm. And so that, like, that's all the input you're getting is like, suddenly you have this new understanding of a, like, a parental point of view. And it's so easy to fall into the, like, that, like, it's so easy to get locked into. Like, it's suddenly, you know, you no longer represent all these other points of view. And I don't know. I don't know that anybody, like, likes to come see artists that is just, that only makes sense to artists. Mm-hmm. You know, there has to be a bridge to the audience. I don't know. I guess it's my thing.
My sister's just finished up her master's and now is doing art residencies. And sometimes she'll go down the little artist rabbit hole and start talking and saying, words that I'm like, oh, stop. Just talk like a person about it. Don't, okay. No, I understand what you're saying, but this is odd. Academic art talk.
Yeah. I think, academia is... I think sort of the opposite of what we want. Yeah, because then it's when it... I think that's when it stops speaking to people. And it starts just being a conceptual exercise. And I love academia as much, you know, in its own sphere, great. Like, I love art history. And I think, like, by itself, it's really dry. But when you start to relate it to culture and how it evolves and things like that, then suddenly when you tie people into it, then it's very interesting and it's alive.
I think academia exists in a vacuum. But then when you get out of academia, if you still persist as a vacuum, then that's a problem.
Right.
Is that kind of where you're going?
You're going to be frustrated by the rest of the world because you don't get to just tell them.
Or you're going to frustrate the rest of the
world. Right, that too. You don't just get to tell people that they should think of this in a vacuum because they're not...
Right. And then they're wrong.
Oh, exactly.
Right.
I am the wise person I have come down from.
What do you feel is the role of the audience in improvisation? This has come up recently in a couple of different ways in conversations that I've been a part of or online forums, stuff like that. In one forum, they talked about what should a group do with an audience suggestion. Should it be literal? Should it be inspiration? Should it run through the entire thing? Should it be taken then thrown away? How much should the audience be involved? Should they be that, like, you know, blah blah blah. So I'm gonna edit this question down a little bit, but
sure.
But it's, and then some people think that, you know, fuck the audience, as long as I'm taking care of myself and my scene partner, it's all good.
I think for me, I think we're so blessed, we're so lucky to have an audience, and the audience keeps us honest.
Right.
Like, as far as, you know, whether we're doing improv or scripted work, the audience can sense as soon as you're, I'm going to use a shitty word, inauthentic. Mm-hmm. The audience is just like, whoop, done, off. But we're so lucky to have them, and that's, if we're not giving them... Oh my God, I have been reading our authentic selves as performers. This is bullshit. But in our character work, if we can do it from, you know, you've got to be true to the moment. And once the audience figures out that you're not being true to the moment, whether it's scripted or improvised, good luck having an audience again.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, anyone that says, like, I'm all for having integrity to what you set out to do, even if... it doesn't necessarily succeed with the audience. But if anybody says, like, well, you know, fuck the audience, I don't have to consider them, well, then you should give them their money back. Because you've, you know, whether you want to admit it as an artist or not, you've entered into a contract with these people. Mm-hmm. And you have, mm-hmm. you own part of it. And there's a responsibility that comes with that. And anybody that tries to free themselves of it is jerking off. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that anybody just gets to not consider the audience. And I've been on the audience side in those experiences. And it's just offensive to me of like, well, then don't advertise your show. If you don't need an audience, don't ask for one. You know, the same way I hate when people ask the audience to yell stuff out and then berate them for doing so. Like, yeah. Now you're just being a jerk.
That's exactly that art snob thing that you were talking about. Whereas, like, in the people that know what improv is, they don't really need that suggestion because they know what's going on. Whereas somebody who's new, maybe that's their first show, they're like, I said spatula, and they forgot about the spatula immediately.
Right. And which so, I think, like, and I've had people challenge us on that of like, well, my suggestion never came back. And there's a certain school of people that think that that's proof that we weren't really improvising. Like, they want us to keep bringing back, you know, that part back. And to those people, I would say that, like, no, now you've overstepped your bounds as the audience. Like, we don't have a responsibility to prove anything to you. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe that we're improvising, don't buy a ticket. If you're going to come expecting us to prove that we're, you know, I mean, it's, you wouldn't go see, you know, a Shakespeare play and bring the script along just to, you know, prove, like, are they really saying the words? Like, no, you accept that at the mm-hmm. the outset. And what we do is sort of, I feel like it's sort of unbelievable to a certain segment of the population. Mm-hmm. And the reaction to that seems to always be that we must be cheating. And I hate that. I hate it so much. So we get that demand a lot of like, well, you know, I wanted you to demonstrate to me that you're improvising. No, I advertised you that we're improvising. We are, in fact, improvising. I can't prove it any more than I can by actually doing it. And asking me to take time away from actually doing it to prove it to you would be to short the rest of the audience that can just buy a ticket and enjoy it. So I get really hostile at that sort of notion. I mean, it's like if you see a basketball team play really, really tight, you don't assume that the entire game was fixed. But for some reason, when people see improvisers improvise really well, they assume that there's no other explanation that we rigged it ahead of time because they can't imagine being able to do that. And that's fine.
You know, you and I were talking the other day about this very
subject.
I'm sorry,
Jen. Did you want to talk at all?
No.
Because I'm... Oh man, you poked a sore spot. So I'm just
I'm going to ask you a follow up about it.
Oh boy!
Well, we were talking about this just the other day,
right?
And we were talking about how for some reason the people who don't believe tend to get mad mm-hmm. about it. They tend to get angry. And why do you think that is?
Because I think it speaks to a shortcoming of their own in a way that they don't like. Mm-hmm. They're watching anyone. Pretend in a way that they have forgotten how to do, and they are seeing people do something they can no longer do, or at least they tell themselves they can no longer do, mm-hmm. in such a way that seems effortless and fun, and it's a critique of them as people that can't imagine being that free. I can't imagine being that unencumbered by fear that I could have as much fun as you just did. That's a terrible statement about myself as an mm-hmm. adult,
and I'm forced to face that.
Kind of,
yeah.
And I think there are people that enter into, you know, these things with a fair amount of skepticism. And skepticism by itself isn't necessarily bad. But it's the same, you know, we go to see magic shows knowing that
right. There's
something to be skeptical about. But we still enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to enjoy the show even though you know that there's something going on. And yeah, there is something going on. We have structure laid out ahead of time. There are these things that we build in that we already know. But at a certain point, we're just going to do what we do. And like I said, it's not fair to anybody else to demand. Nobody gets to demand that we stop doing our best at our art to prove that we're actually doing it. But yeah, I think it makes, you know, reasonable adults feel very suddenly like, oh yeah, I've forgotten how to do this. And there's somebody that can, and it sucks.
That was perfect. That was awesome.
That's just my cynical take on it. You can talk now, Jen.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, that was brilliant. I just want to say, hear, hear. I concur.
I'll stop railing against the institutions of adulthood.
It's not you. It's the other people.
It's everyone else. If you had a universal note for groups out there, what would it be?
Groups are, I guess it's all the same.
Yeah. Groups.
Groups. Individuals. Mm-hmm.
Like each other and stop trying to win.
Oh, that's great.
I took the good one.
No, it's good. It's really good. I generally, especially like when you get people who are either going for an audition or are actually, you know, like, oh my God, we're going on stage for, you know, where it's kind of new to them. Just like jump, get in there, look each other in the eye, listen. And and if they're a really nice group, you tell them to fuck with each other. Because really nice groups will be so nice to each other and then no one will do anything.
Yeah, get in trouble.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Paint yourself into a tiny little box.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's no fun in safety at all. We want to win.
Yes.
To make the other person go somewhere unsafe while we remain safe. Or we want to support one another by keeping everything safe. Like, we'll all stay safe together and I'll justify everything together.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No. No, absolutely. Like, the person that's helping you find something new is the guy that throws the oars out of the boat and starts shooting holes in it. Like, yeah, that's that. Now we're going to see something.
I love it when groups are so, like, especially, like, it comes out a lot when you're learning, like, games. Because games, at least in Minneapolis, are like, oh, goddamn games. Like, you know. But when people, they know they're looking weird. And this feels so weird, but yet they do it anyway. And even on their face, they're like, ah, this is weird. But they still do it. And, yeah, I just want to give them roses and chocolates for, like, you're doing good. Jump onto the weirdness. Jump onto what feels goony. It's good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why our impulse is to explain our way back to... No matter how weird we start, there's always that weird thing where you see people like, well, you know, here's a vampire in a dentist's office, which... And then suddenly there's this urge to, like, explain
because
why,
you know,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because that...
just so you know, guys.
Here's the thing. Yeah. And to make... And we're just really telling ourselves, like, yeah, this could be okay. This could happen. It's all right. Like, we know it's all right. We're already here. So just be here. And, you know, and then we're back to our mono scenes. Suckers!
Ha!
I want to see a vampire in the dentist's office.
Which is funny, because we just play real people. We haven't...
Yeah,
I don't think we've
true.
Played, like, weird fantasy...
I was kind of thinking about
that.
...out
there roles.
Yeah. With, yeah. No, we just
play
real people.
We just play real human beings.
Which is great.
So... Where's my advice about, you know, going out there now?
Oh,
crap.
Sometimes playing real people, that's being weird as opposed to... There we go. I will justify it.
I reject your justification.
Damn it. But I explained it.
All right. And now's the time in the show where we throw the microphone over to Philip Simondette for a brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner.
Hi, Philip's Corner.
Hi, welcome to Philip's Corner.
I want
to
throw this microphone at you so bad.
Philip's Corner, awkward questions, awesome answers.
That's great.
It's the catchphrase that I seem to have stuck with.
Sweet.
I really like that
it's
one.
It's really good.
Jen.
Yes, sir.
Where would you like to go on your dream vacation?
Oh, thank you, Philip. That was a wonderfully not awkward question. Can I offer two choices?
Two and a half.
It's a tour.
It's a tour. Well, my dad always wanted to go to Mars. So I think it'd be really cool to be able to visit Mars and survive, or maybe make it back to the rest of civilization.
That could be plausible soon.
Soon, if Sweden has its Swedish scientists. And then the other, I would really like to go to all of my stereotypes of the British Isles. I've never been to the British Isles, but all of my stereotypes about the British Isles, I would like to go visit those stereotypes. I'd like to go visit the moors of Scotland and feel my ancestry rise. And then I would like to go to Ireland, see how green everything is, and talk to people. Then maybe prance a little bit in England, because that's what you do when you're in England, I assume. Again, my stereotypes. So that's, I'm assuming everybody is friendly or awesome, and you go into an Irish pub, and of course an awkward music will start playing, but you'll just go with it. And then you'll be out in the moors of Scotland, and then the fog will get in, and you'll be really scared. And I'll ride a Shetland pony, and it's going to be amazing. And my half would probably be Washington, D.C.
I'd say that's half.
Okay.
Sure.
It's not even a state.
It's a municipality.
Doesn't even get to vote.
Ah, suckers.
Butch.
What?
It gets to vote.
I mean, it gets representation, but yeah.
A little bit. Half.
Yeah.
Butch.
Yes.
Why do people like color so much?
Good question.
Because it's a, I think it's an evolutionary byproduct. It's kept us alive over the years. Vivid color vision. If we don't exercise our rods and cones, they start to feel left out and like they're withering away. So yes, it speaks to like the lizard brain part of our ancestry that kept us alive in the moors of Scotland by noticing the will-o'-wisps and the, you know, the big hounds in the fog. Boom.
Boom. Mic drop.
There's a lot of hand waving going
on. Tipped over.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
Do you think that we cannot see the parts of the color spectrum that the Loch Ness Monster is made of?
Oh. Good question.
No, I don't think that's why we haven't seen it, if that's the nature of your question.
Yes.
Because wouldn't we still then see the hole in the water that it's making?
Touche. Well said.
Because we can see the water.
Can we?
Yes.
Water.
I'm going to say yes.
Well, and there are pictures, Matt McCloud.
I just posted, there's that graph from I Fucking Love Science. They just posted that graph of like, the entire spectrum of the infrared and audiovisual spectrum, and then it shows like the very sliver of everything that we can see and hear, and it's, you know, 0.1% of anything.
Mm-hmm. I knew a guy in high school who could see just a little bit of the infrared spectrum.
What?
Yeah, so he'd be in a dark room, and his dog would be over there, and then like the dog would move, and there'd be still like a little faint ghost dog. I was like, oh, really?
That's weird.
So he claimed.
Is he okay?
Kind of a jerk.
That's like phenomenon.
Yes.
He died of a brain tumor. Fat lot of good his infrared vision did him then. I hope you didn't like that guy. I'm sorry.
No, not at all.
He died of a brain tumor.
I'm giggling.
That brings me to one final question for both of you.
Oh, yay!
Speaking of brain tumor.
What?
Well, do you think ghosts could exist and they're just in a thing we can't see?
I have a hard time with ghosts because to keep myself unscared from places, I have to tell myself, no, there's no ghost here. But literally I have to, yeah. So I could totally see them existing on an alternate spectrum, or I could see them like literally just whenever they want to fuck with us being like, no, fuck you. Did you see Discover Magazine, tangent, had a nice little doff of the hat to... Ghost Hunters, the TV show, because they're like, they actually use a somewhat scientific method to disprove themselves about the ghosts. So you can feel justified in watching Ghost Hunters. Nice. Like, just not watching.
Good use of doff. No.
Great. This has been Phillips Garner. Thank you so much.
All right, you guys want to do some improv?
Sure.
Fuck yeah. Do I?
The what?
Do we get a suggestion? I always forget.
No, we don't. No. We don't.
Okay.
Our suggestion is Martian.
Anything? Anything out the window?
It's still the same as yesterday.
All
right. Of course, the window could be broken. Maybe they just painted it black on the outside.
Oh no! Don't do that. Don't do that whole, like, we're secretly still on Earth, right. And we're just, like,
we're just in the New Mexico desert.
Yeah. If that was in your brain, why didn't you say that earlier? Has that been on your mind the whole time?
I kind of think that maybe they're just seeing how we would react to being locked in this.
You can't watch The Matrix the same week you go through the training gimbal.
No.
Well, either way, we're heroes. If you imagine that you go
unless
to a
unless we're
distant
the victims
planet,
of a giant farce.
Well, that doesn't make us heroes. That makes us just victims.
Or, yeah, lab rats.
Lab rats.
All right, guys, I've got the bottles ready. I've got corks for each of you. Did you want to write your notes so we throw them out into space and hopefully somebody can find them?
Space or the sound studio. Either one.
Stop it.
Yeah, I'll start writing my note.
Is he still...
You knew about this? You knew about this, added?
Nah, I was pretty sure. He watched The Matrix like 6 times.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then you go through the simulator.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and then how do you know when you leave the simulator?
How do you know?
Oh, come on!
Yeah, right?
Oh, come on. It doesn't...
Computer's not going to tell you that it's a simulator. Simulator's programmed to not tell you it's a simulator. Computer can't tell you if it's broken, man.
Did he go through the whole the three of us are actors thing yet?
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he thinks we're all actors.
Well, Mary, you do look like someone that I saw in an independent film.
I don't know if that's a compliment, but I'm going to say thank you.
Okay. If I was an actor in a film, what wouldn't I be allowed to do to you?
Well.
Oh, hey.
I'm just saying, I just want to put this to bed.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you probably wouldn't be allowed to lock me in a room with you for months and months. And
nice try.
Pretend that I'm in space when I'm really not, but you could clearly be doing that.
Or that
so.
Would be my job description as an actor.
Exactly.
That's
so,
true.
Yeah, have you seen The Truman Show? He could totally do that.
Right?
Oh, God.
I'm saying, like, what would be off limits? If you're the one real astronaut and we're three actors, what wouldn't I be allowed to do?
I guess
you couldn't
kill me, because if I'm the only real person here, there'd be no point if I wasn't here anymore.
And then the lights would all come on and we'd all go home.
Maybe that's our job. Is that where you come in?
Oh, my God. Right. This could be just the whole thing.
You'd never know how right you were.
It's like Truman Show is a snuff film.
Yeah, like...
Isn't it, though?
I haven't seen Saw. Is this like Saw?
This is so like Saw.
Okay,
guys, this is crazy. Just fill out your notes and put them in a bottle.
I don't
and...
know if this is like Saw.
I'm not
Dear
sure.
This is like
audience.
13th. Did you see 13th
no,
floor?
I heard about it.
Yeah.
I'm on to your little game.
It's like a simulation inside a simulation.
Gotcha.
Right?
Aww.
Did you see 13th floor?
No.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, it got eclipsed by The Matrix, and rightly so. But,
sure. Well.
It was a simulation of a world, and inside that world they built another simulation. Should I said spoiler alert?
No, not at all. Okay. Well,
you're spoiling real life.
Okay.
Oh, right, well. Gary, come on.
Do you know Bruce Willis is dead at the end of Sixth Sense?
I haven't seen that movie yet.
He's dead at the end of Sixth Sense.
He's super dead.
I was so busy watching The Matrix and 13th Floor. And
did you see Equilibrium?
I did.
That was really good.
I loved it.
Equilibrium?
Yeah, yeah. With the gun kung fu. What did they call it?
Yeah, I think gun
was
fu.
It gun fu.
Gun fu? Yeah.
So simple. It's right there in front of you.
Damn.
Yeah. I just, you know what? I know that you're supposed to just accept the premise, but I couldn't go there with, like, we've decided that emotions were the problem.
Oh, that was Equilibrium?
Yeah.
But who cares? It looked really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, I like that.
And Christian Bale.
Oh, he makes me mad.
Gun fu.
Gary, we can't be actors. I don't like Christian Bale. Well, any actor.
Apparently he's an asshole on the set. Maybe he yelled at you and now that's why you don't like him.
Come.
Gary, come on.
Gary. Oh, God.
I'm still holding out hope that we are on a real mission.
We are on a real mission.
Gary, what could we possibly say to prove it to you?
Why would actors put themselves through this?
Don't you think that's sort of a narcissistic assumption that we would all go through this just to see what you would do?
True. No offense.
That'd be like The Truman Show if the baby was the one that set it up.
Well,
like, you know what? You know who needs to watch everything I do? The world.
I did not set this up, and neither did Truman, all right?
Okay.
Just because I'm the center of everything that's important doesn't mean I want to be. You know, this could be
Thanks,
like
Gary.
This
Thanks
could be
lot.
Like, well, you could just be a secondary
character.
You know
what, Gary, you fix the gauge.
Gary, don't fix the gauge. You don't know how to. Oh, crap.
You know, it's awfully convenient that it started breaking once you said that I should fix it.
Seriously.
I'm not going to fix it.
Well, you just...
You just told me to fix it, and I'm not going
to... You don't know how to fix... You don't know how to fix it.
Well, I don't even know that that's broken. That could be normal.
Gary, why did you wait till we were way up here, halfway to Mars, before you went crazy?
You mean before I became enlightened?
No.
This is how it got. There was just like sun or moon. Which of those?
Moon. Sun?
Yeah.
Where they fly too close to the sun?
Yeah,
and that's sunshine.
Sunshine. Everyone sunshine, goes crazy, yeah. though, right? Mm-hmm. Like they all start to train on each other.
I mean, one of them did, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Where they. I think they reached enlightenment.
Is that what happened?
I think so. But yeah, moon. Well, he just sort of had an existential crisis.
This seems like it would be a great movie. There's so many places that you could have hidden cameras in here. That's all I'm saying, you guys.
Right.
They do. I mean, duh.
Well, I know about the ones that are supposed to be cameras, but there could be more.
I mean, it's a massive space project. Of course there's cameras.
Do we look like actors? Despite the fact that I look like someone in an independent film, the amount of money it would take to create a movie like this, you'd probably want some people who actually, you know, look like actors.
Well, no.
There. If this was a film, I couldn't just cover this gauge up with tape and just call it done. Like something would have to happen. This is clearly important. It's like a crucial system. We couldn't just cover it up with tape and ignore it for the rest of the film.
We'll see. We'll see how this film ends, I guess.
Oh, jeez. Or what if we're not in a film?
Yep. What if this is real life and we're all stuck here in this tiny little capsule?
See, now you started with what if. It is real life.
Oh, sorry. I'm buying
it. Maybe we should put our helmets on.
It is one possibility.
I'm going to pose that. Maybe we should put our helmets on.
What do you think is going to happen, Gary? What do you think is going to happen if we are actors?
No, that's more what if. You're right.
Well, there's lots of possibilities. If this is all happening in real life, we're either going to die in space or discover a new planet and be heroes. Well, heroes either way, hopefully. Or this could be one of the greatest movies ever produced, or it could be a flop.
It's a pretty boring movie, no offense. I love all you guys.
Right now, you're being a pretty terrible character if it's a movie.
Right.
Yeah, true.
Well, what if true? Well, Truman Show wasn't really that interesting until he figured out that he was in a movie.
Jim Carrey was in that movie.
They had a worldwide audience before he figured out he was in that movie.
That could be happening right now.
I mean, what do they have so far of us? I mean, what day is it now?
17?
17 days of a lot of sleeping and system checks.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting.
Dry showers.
Right.
It's a real world in space.
This isn't... Oh, God.
Ew.
And here's the drama. This is where they want the drama.
Right.
That one time. That was pretty fun.
That got heated.
It's okay.
If you splice that together right, that could be a real dramatic episode.
People don't have the patience for this. Yeah. No, they know we're up here. I doubt anybody's watching.
Right. I mean, this is a pretty slim capsule. Like, you show me where we're carrying 50,000 feet of celluloid.
Ooh, yeah, well said.
Or even just enough hard drives to capture all of this.
Well,
come on, Gary. Where is it, Gary?
Oh shit.
Well, we're in a spaceship, but
yeah.
I mean,
I'm going to tap it again. Is that cool?
Who cares? Tap it.
You want to go? You want to go outside the craft? We can do a little EV, and you can just take. You can show me where the film cans are.
This is like when Truman crashes the sailboat into the wall. I'm for it. Let's do this.
Sort of. It'd be like if they. Is
sorry,
where
spoiler
they,
alert.
They allowed Truman to crash into the wall because they knew there was a second wall beyond that, and he would just go happily thinking that there was.
But what if it's like a Dark City thing, and you open it up?
Oh, that was a good one.
Oh, that was a good one. Like you want to get to Shell Beach?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Oh, you
really should see
really,
that.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. Oh, do that more. That's freaky.
Which gauge is doing
Gary,
that?
Gary, you're going to love this.
Oh, it's like Richard O'Brien in a real movie.
Yeah. That was really good.
I liked it.
I'm putting the space suit on. I'm going.
No, that's unnecessary. That was dark. That's against.
There was like no happy. So it was like, yeah, you figured it out, but you're still boned.
But you're still screwed.
Yeah, you're in the middle of space. Yeah. It's like time bandits.
Gary, you Gary, can take that
this
off.
World, but this world is
Gary, doing it. I'm finding out for myself.
Gary, we're not supposed to take any unnecessary.
You got Jennifer Connelly.
It's necessary for my well-being.
You don't even know how long you've been gone.
For your well-being. What happens to you out there?
Any of those sentences with "but you have Jennifer Connelly" and it's kind of okay.
I could die. It's like time bandits at the end.
You are a hero right now.
Hey, congratulations! You had an adventure. You found the Polaroids. You're an orphan that has no home.
Gary.
Oh, I'm going outside, you guys. All right, well, I am finding
you know what?
Out.
He believes there is an outside. This is progress. Good for you, Gary.
Guys, can we man this if he dies?
Man this? Oh.
Can we
the
man
craft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, we'll each take longer shifts.
I didn't think about that. Gary.
I'm going.
Just clip yourself to the vehicle before you open the door.
Jesus. This is not cool. This is not cool.
We are moving at a high rate of speed, which I guess if you fell off, you would be too. But so what?
Or I will go to craft services and just
no.
Have
there
a snack.
Are no craft services. Oh my god!
It's like that. We didn't get to see gravity before we left. See, that's what it would be.
That one looks.
Now
great.
You just get to float until you starve to death, Gary.
This is gonna suck. Oh
and you'll
my
be like
god.
4 feet away from the window, and we'll be able to wave to you, but we won't be able to get you food.
Looks amazing in it.
This is all too. Too theory for me. This is too scholarly.
Did you ever
academic.
See when they shot Bender through the pirate ship in Futurama and then they could never catch him because they were going top speed when they fired him out of the torpedo tube?
Maybe. That like sounds that. Vaguely.
But he met God.
Gary, you're not going to meet God.
He was a hero.
You're a hero right now.
He's a cartoon, Gary.
Oh,
and you're acting cartoonish.
No, that's true.
You got to make bold choices.
What
that's
if
how
we're
you
all being
hero.
Animated by a team of South Koreans right now?
You're not even people?
That's
your
right.
Puppets?
That's right, Gary.
And so,
taking this helmet off.
Thank God,
we've all been drawn on individual sheets of celluloid,
Velcro
painstakingly.
Back on.
You guys look so real.
We are, Gary, and you are too.
Maybe the oxygen is getting low.
Oh crap! I didn't put that together.
I didn't think about that.
Can someone? Is there another way to check? There should be another
tap
way to
stuff,
check.
Man.
All right, hang on.
God. Why isn't the computer working? Why isn't the computer answering us?
Should be answering us.
Unless it's broken.
Oh, man. If we're boned. Oh. I hadn't really put together that we might be boned.
Don't talk to the computer if it's broken.
I suppose we should write those messages. We should okay. probably write those.
Dear Suzanne, I hope that you find this letter, although it's many light years away from you.
Your wife's never going to get that.
Yeah.
Unless,
Gary.
Well, unless it's a soundstage, then just say, hey, what's up? You can text her right now.
Gary, that's not really the point. I'm pretty sure she's not going to get it, but I'm afraid that, you know, I'm not going to get to see her again, so.
So he's going to make us all listen to him writing it.
I'll write it to myself. That's
all right. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, don't. No, you were saying what I was thinking.
It's all right. I'm still just pissed about the ping pong.
You want to play ping pong? We can all play
no,
ping pong.
We played ping pong, and I think we're done with it. I think we learned that doesn't end well.
It's good for ratings.
Oh,
Gary.
Gary, I thought you were back with us.
It's one possibility. That's all I'm saying, you guys.
Everything's a possibility. We That's could already true. Be dead. What if this is heaven? Welcome to heaven, boy.
Yeah.
Heaven. Weird toilets for heaven.
Yeah.
I think they're fun. I still haven't gotten over the novelty.
It's kind of messy for me.
All right, my letter's done. Here you go, Captain.
Thank you.
I already wrote all the letters I needed to write one before we...
Of course you
Could
did.
I get more paper? I need to write several letters, depending on which scenario is real.
You only get one bottle to put it in, Gary.
Do we have thinner paper?
So you're going to have to include a test for the recipients of the letter to know which reality they're in.
Oh, God, that's...
Oh, I'm going
to
need
That's going to be your gift to an alien race, Gary. You're going to pose them with an existential quandary that they're never going to be able to solve, and their society will come crashing to a halt. Congratulations.
Or it'll develop their culture. It'll stimulate their brains.
What
and
if it's a religion of Gary?
Them.
Oh, my God. You could be that. Their word that falls from the sky and asks them the unanswerable questions.
Yeah. Huh.
Son of a...
So I should be writing a Bible, is what you're saying. I'm going to start writing a Bible.
You already are writing a Bible.
Yeah, I'm going to write a different note.
You are? What are you writing?
Well, given that possibility.
Are you going to be the anti-Gary? Are you going to write an anti-Christ Bible?
No, not everything has
Bible?
To do with you, Gary.
It just
you're not
like
the center of this. You're not the center of this experience. We're not all
he
filming
sure
you to see what you, how you react to this, Gary.
So what are you going to write?
I'm not sure yet.
It sounds like you're just going to write, suddenly don't believe Gary.
Guys, we went through a lot of testing to figure out that we all could work together really well, right?
Yeah.
We did a really good job with that. I mean, we are like Team Supreme with Team Supreme.
We're supposed to be. In fact, that's what they called us.
Yeah.
Team Supreme with Team Supreme. So...
And any one of us should be able to feed the other three crew members for at least 2 days. If it comes to that.
Captain, they didn't tell us that part.
Is that not in all of the handbooks?
No, but that makes sense. Nope.
All right.
Do you have a knife?
No, of course not.
Okay.
Captain, I'm pretty sure I saw a knife in your inside jacket pocket earlier today.
That's just that's part of the captain's uniform. You know what? If something happens to me and you become captain, there will be things that will be made clear to you.
Would one of them be a knife?
Maybe, and you'd get the captain's handbook, and you'd know what to do with my body, and I would want you to do it.
I'm just saying you're a very good captain,
Thank you. I worked very hard to get here. I'm not just pretending that I worked very hard to get here so I could pretend for you.
Maybe you're an awesome captain. Probably. I don't know. Does that sound great, Captain,
like an actor to you, Gary?
Yeah, he had a lot of emotion in his voice. I did believe him, which, if he was a good actor...
Gary, you've known Jack for, what, 8 months we've been training?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where did he go... Where did he train before that? Art school?
Gary, you're sowing seeds of discontent. That's what you're doing.
There's never an end answer to this, Gary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. I'm going outside.
Oh, all right, go outside. Go outside. You know what? Go outside.
We're supposed to do that.
That's
Captain,
fine. That's fine. We can get the arm up and we can reel him back in.
The captain's okay. I'm doing this.
Yeah, no,
I'll be
fine.
In there.
Right. Knock yourself out. So. Oh, look at that. The light went off.
It was Gary?
Maybe.
Did we let him?
I don't know. Huh? Okay, it's back to normal.
Huh.
Maybe it was Gary.
So was he taking all the oxygen?
Maybe we're maybe the movie's about us.
Or maybe the light was the camera, and now that he went outside, we're not important enough to film anymore.
Oh.
Oh. Wait. That would mean...
I'm gonna put...
That would be crazy, though.
Oh, that's...
My breath is getting more shallow.
They wouldn't let us just throw the main... character out the airlock.
Unless they just follow, like you said, the main character.
But that doesn't make any sense.
I'm getting lightheaded. Are you guys feeling that?
If the main character's gone and they're not filming,
that's why I'm going to put on my helmet now.
Yeah, put on
now.
Your helmet.
Okay.
That would be a good idea.
Right.
Okay. You know what? Let's just all put on our helmets.
I think we
should
all.
Yeah,
guys, would you please put on your helmets? How many hours do we each have?
26.
All right. Oh, God.
Does anybody see Gary out there?
Not out this window.
Not out this one.
Not out this one either.
Oh, guys.
Unless the windows are just black, because...
That's crazy, though. We're astronauts.
Yes.
Yes.
What is more likely? That we train for months and years of our lives to get up here so we could make a movie about this guy that we only met a few months ago? Or that the oxygen gauge is broken?
The oxygen gauge is broken.
Okay.
Clearly.
That seems reasonable.
But why would the light go out as soon as he left?
I mean, he opened the airlock.
Maybe it was tied to the airlock.
Could be. We should probably fix the oxygen gauge.
Yeah.
Do we have to go outside to do that, or is that an inside job?
No, that's an inside. That's
okay,
an inside thing.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Is he coming back?
I hope so. I mean,
Me too.
I mean, regardless of what he believes, he's going to find something out there.
True.
Well, and I mean, if we were still on Earth, how would we have zero gravity? I mean, that's not possible, right?
Well, yeah.
No, there's spinning.
Right?
You can spin things. There's ways.
I mean, we trained
But I mean, they couldn't keep that going, could they?
Why not? I mean, there's millions of dollars invested in...
I mean, we could be in orbit, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
Just, I mean, you're just falling at 1,500 miles an hour.
Go over and over.
Okay.
We should just fix the oxygen.
Right, we should just fix... again, there's nothing conclusive down this line of questioning. You can never really know all the...
Guys, I kind of want to go home now.
Well, you can't.
We all do.
Right.
Well, but what if Gary was right? What if we just walk outside and we're on a set?
You walk outside and you don't come back, that means you're going to die.
Right. If you walk outside and don't come back...
But what if I just go outside for a second, and if it's, you know, everything's right, then I just come right back in?
Then that's fine. But what if you walk outside for a second and everything's wrong?
Yeah.
Then I go home to my wife. Well, move.
But,
happen?
But would you want to?
Yeah.
Guess you're already a hero for being here.
Or you're going to have to explain to her why you're home.
Or I'm an extra.
Yeah, you're not a hero at all.
Yeah, you're right. You wimped out.
As long as you stay gone, your wife thinks you're a hero.
That's a good point.
I mean, you get to give her that note. On the plus side.
That's true.
A sweet gesture.
She'd probably understand.
You get to say something to the entire universe and you wrote a note to her.
Mm-hmm. That is nice.
That's very nice. You'd probably score some points there.
I don't have
Unless
anyone.
Unless you find yourself on the outside of a capsule flying through space.
Yep.
And you die.
Yep.
That's a good point. I don't think I need to score points with my wife. I think she just likes me already.
Pretty sure she does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish Gary would come back in.
I wish he would, too.
Yep.
Starting to freak me out a little bit. A
little bit.
We weren't extras in a movie, right?
I don't think so.
No, that based my entire existence is based
unless
on
we're
the idea.
Unless we're the Trumans and Gary is the actor.
Shit.
What?
Did you guys go through flight school?
Yeah.
Did you go through space camp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you always wanted to be an astronaut?
Uh-huh.
Except for that time when I was 12 and wanted to go into fashion.
Right. Did you change your mind or did somebody like...
It was just the weird ways that things worked out, you know?
Oh.
What does O mean?
Well, I mean, think about it. That's very Truman Show.
No.
Like things just worked out that way. Doors just opened.
That's well for you too. I mean, you were probably not a 2-year-old thinking you were going to be a space pilot.
No.
Or were you? But... Just, you know, life works out that way.
I wanted to open my own restaurant for a while.
Hey, that's great.
I wanted to go into math.
You kind of did.
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did.
That's good.
But, like, what if we're the Trumans?
Shit. Well, we could do a full walk. We could, you know, all suit up and go outside and...
Right, but we need to find a sailboat to take off into the...
Yeah, you're
into
right.
Into the ocean and crash into a wall.
Good point.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Gary. Oh.
Gary! Thank God.
Huh? Mm. So what'd you find out?
What's news? What's
definitely space out there, guys.
What's in your hand?
A bagel. I brought the bagel with me. I stopped by the kitchen on my way out to the airlock.
What? We have bagels?
Yeah, we've had bagels the whole time.
Huh.
Yeah, just wanted... I thought I'd grab a snack while I was out there. Totally space, though, guys. Definitely right. Space.
Let me see your helmet, Gary.
Is that an everything bagel? Because I don't think we had everything bagel.
Let me see your goddamn helmet, Gary.
How'd you okay, Captain.
Eat with your helmet on?
That's an everything bagel.
Well, I just picked the crumbs up from the other bagels and smushed it onto my bagel. Because I didn't want to waste the crumbs...
Captain, what's up with his helmet?
What, Gary, why is there a microphone in your helmet?
What?
Well, so you can talk to each other when we're both out in space.
I mean, the one pointed off the front.
I can't believe this.
Gary, goddamn.
Is that a head cam?
Gary, I'm going to take out this knife and I'm going to ask you some simple questions.
Well, put the knife away, Captain.
Your breath smells like M&M's, Gary.
There was some M&M crumbs. That I put on my bagel,
Gary. I'm just gonna make a little hole in your suit, and we're just gonna send you out for a little spacewalk, Gary.
Oh, Jesus, Captain.
Cap.
Gary.
Captain.
Gary.
How about Gary just tells us what he knows, and we can finish this.
I don't know a lot, you guys. I mean, it could be anything. God damn it! You're gonna be heroes in a way,
or we are heroes already.
Gary, are we not halfway to Mars?
Well, yes. I mean, halfway between Mars and then another point that's Mars distance from Earth in the other way. Yes, in that sense, we're halfway to Mars.
So we've orbited. So the Earth is on the other side of the sun from Mars, is what you're saying. So what you're saying is it's autumn, Gary.
It is autumn.
I'm going to stab you in the foot.
Captain, put...
Ew, that's zero gravity.
No, you just stand there.
Oh, someone just clean that up.
And just droplets floating. Vacuum.
You just stand there and bleed into the air, Gary.
Captain, this is so uncaptainy of you.
Yeah?
I gave up an engagement to be on this trip. I can't believe this. This is stupid.
No, you're going to be heroes, you guys. This is,
or we already are.
How exactly are we?
Everyone's going to know your names. Oh. No one's going to love you. They're going to know everything about you. And
Gary, is this reality television?
Gary?
Yes. Yes, all right? It's going to be the best reality TV show ever.
What's it called?
Oh, yep. It's back on again.
Ah, it doesn't matter. It just does that to freak you out.
What's
and make
it called,
you
Gary?
So you know everything.
It's called Mission to Mars.
Of course it is.
And it's the working title. We might come up with something better.
Oh, something better well, in case that's not compelling enough.
Well, it depends on if this turns out to be a doomed mission or not. We haven't decided yet.
Well, we've got somebody we can eat for the next 2 days.
Captain, put the knife down.
Gary, don't you tell me what to do.
Mary, can you patch my foot?
Yes.
I mean, it's...
With Captain's permission, I can.
Oh, look, fancy that. There's nothing in the Captain's handbook to do. What to do if you find out this is all a farce and you've been lied to for the last several years of your life.
How do we get out, Gary? How do we get out?
You have to have a season finale.
Well, I think we're having it right now.
Right. Gary, I'm going to ask my previous question in reverse. If you're the only actor, what would I not be allowed to do to you in this movie with this knife? What would cause these people to run in and save you, Gary?
You can't kill me, Captain.
Can't I?
Don't kill me.
Oh, that's more like it.
It's not supposed to work this way.
Oh, but it might.
Everything might happen.
You think
never
they're just
going to
let you die, Gary?
How do we get out? We're having the finale right now. Take us home.
Gary.
I'm not the producer. I'm not in charge. I wish that I could end this, but I can't. They need their season finale.
Well, they're going to get it.
Captain.
Oh, yes, they're going to get it.
Captain. Don't come closer. Captain.
Just hold still.
Oh, I don't want to see this. Still. Captain, please. Come on.
You know what? In a way, I feel like I deserve it.
Oh, God.
I feel like you do, too.
And you know what? I'm going to be the star of this show, and I'm the one.
Not if I can help it.
I have no romantic interest in you, Gary. How about that?
That seems like something you would say in the season finale. Right before the main character gets killed by his crazy captain.
No, you don't get to be the main character! Mary, I have no romantic interest in you either.
Gary, I also have no romantic interest in you.
There. Now it's a boring mission to Mars. Nobody is going to... You don't get to be the main character. You are going to live.
Just gonna Velcro. Let's just Velcro him up. Let's just attach him to a wall. I'm right. Sorry.
No, you have to end this.
No,
you need to do
on,
something
some...
extraordinary or this show will go on forever.
I got some silly putty. We'll just stick him to the bulkhead. Perfect. There.
How do we get out? So it's something extraordinary. Okay, what else could there be? We just...
I'm gonna take a nap.
You're gonna take a nap.
I'm sorry I knifed you, Gary. I was, you know what? I wasn't thinking rationally. I was thinking emotionally, and kudos, I played right into your hands.
So we're not getting out of here. We're just gonna make him continue with it, Captain.
You guys, this is more of a season finale than a show finale. This is gonna keep going.
You're saying that like you're a producer.
I'm an executive producer. I have a minor credit. But I'm not in charge. I don't have any power.
Executive producer. You've lied to us repeatedly.
I'm going to flip these switches.
Do it. I'd like to get out, please, if this isn't real. I'd like to go.
Ooh, that was a good one.
That was. Do it some more, Captain.
Okay.
Oh, now, yep.
None of these buttons do anything, you guys. We're in a sound
stage. It is a sound stage. Let me out. I'd like to take a real shower, please.
I'll check this one out.
This is huge.
This one says reverse thrusters on it.
We have reverse thrusters.
I don't know. Let's see what it does.
Do it.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it does. Wow. Hey, Gary, are the rest of the producers aliens or real people?
They're aliens to you.
Wait.
What do you mean they're aliens?
Did we leave Earth at some point and we're intercepted along the way? And placed in a simulator? Can anybody remember how they met Gary?
Well, I met him in training, but it was zero. It was once we were in zero G.
Yeah. Oh.
That was. It was actually the first day of zero G training.
How far did we get, Gary?
Well, we're halfway to Mars from Pluto.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm just gonna accept it.
Okay.
Right. We're in a spaceship soundstage, and we're shooting a. Reality TV show.
On another bigger spaceship?
Mm-hmm.
Halfway
to Mars from Pluto. So we're either on Titan or Europa?
There you go.
Or Io.
Well, we're in orbit.
Okay.
We're not on any of them.
Do we?
Son of a bitch.
Do we just...
That's pretty impressive.
This is...
They brought bagels?
I had them. I asked for them.
Are you an alien?
No. I'm a human... Executive producer, Scott.
See, but do you trust him? It's just like the broken computer.
You're right.
We would need another alien to ask what Gary would say if he was lying to us.
Hmm.
And then do the opposite of that. Something like that.
Well, this is a fine...
I'm sorry I pushed all those buttons.
No, it's what... They'll figure out what to do about it.
I guess. It's not our problem.
Anything. Nope, exactly.
No, we're just helpless.
No control.
Guys, Gary's the worst.
I agree.
Seriously, Mel.
This doesn't have to end this way. You do something spectacular for a season finale, you can all be TV... Oh. Well,
thank you.
That was nice. I didn't know you had that in you.
I'm mad.
You channel it well.
Thanks.
You're never going to see your wife again.
Oh.
Oh.
That was good.
When did you learn to punch?
How'd you learn to fight in zero-G?
Seriously.
I was practicing.
Don't you want to see
her? When I first got here.
Are you an alien, too?
No. No, I'm not.
Really, Emma?
Really? No, I'm not. I swear.
Mel, come on.
No, look at these knuckles.
All right.
Okay.
Oh. Mel, there's one way you could see her.
Oh, he's just being a jerk.
Now you're just trying to... You're trying to start some drama.
Well, if there's no finale, the show never ends, and you'll never see her, but if someone does something... Something extra special than the show.
Anybody want to go watch Dark City? Mel.
Yes.
I would.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's go do that.
Wow.
Fun.
That holy came cow, full you circle guys. On itself.
That was lovely.
A monobat. That was awesome.
Next at bat! And that's our show. Thank you to Adorable. Thank you to Butch Roy and Jen Scott for coming by the apartment. It was a lot of fun. You can always find Butch Roy over at Huge Theater. That's Huge Theater on 31st and Lindale in Uptown Minneapolis, where he is the president and executive director at Huge Theater. You can learn more about Huge Theater at www.hugetheater.com. You can find Butch and occasionally Jen at Show X on Mondays at Huge Theater at 8 o'clock. It's a collection of some of the best improvisers in the Twin Cities. You can also see Butch on Saturday nights for the next while, performing with Hannah Wideven in Michael Keaton. That's at 10:30 following The Mess, which is also a spectacular show and you should check out.
And go back and listen to the episode of Next at Bat we recorded with Michael Keaton, in case you missed that.
Absolutely. It's almost like taking an improv class.
Matt and I are not performing very much lately. We're in a bit of a summer slump. But as always, check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/PhilipSimondet, for all the things that I put up there. And give Matt a hug. Also, keep in contact with us on Facebook. Just search for Next at Bat. Or send us an email, nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com.
And check us out on iTunes. Rate, review, and always subscribe to this podcast. It helps keep us sustained, both physically, mentally, and emotionally. Did I say both? I meant both. Check us out next week. We'll have another episode up, although we don't know who the guest is going to be. Improv. And as always,
praise Jibosh.